Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Nightlight, everybody. So glad you could join us. It's kind of cool to be able to gather people around in these times where we have to isolate to kind of gather at least electronically so that we can share energies, information, and insight. I want to thank Ken Quiet Hawk again for his amazing intro. He is a native storyteller, and if you search him out on the internet, you will find what an amazing, talented, and gifted individual he is. He and his wife have preserved native storytelling, a keeping of their history and cosmology, and have been sharing it with countless millions of people. Check it out. It's a very insightful and interesting tradition, and they are amazing and just phenomenal people. Mary Joyce returns to Nightlight tonight with very interesting information about recent sightings of UFOs in the area of Cashiers. The pictures bring to question as to whether the government has taken possession of yet another downed craft, as well as the amazing pictures of the translucent UFOs over Lake Kiawee in South Carolina. Mary has worked for two major metropolitan newspapers, the Orlando Sentinel in Florida as an artist and columnist, and the Oakland Press in Michigan as a Sunday magazine editor and then a feature editor. On the side, she's written magazine articles and books, and since 2008, she has been the main researcher and editor for the Skyships Over Cashiers website, which features a wide variety of cutting-edge topics, from UFOs to secret underground bases, from Bigfoot to Cherokee Little People. Mary has gone from investigating mob stories in Detroit, including Jimmy Hoffa's death, to interviewing people in the highest top secret clearances with the highest top secret clearances about clandestine government activities. She even has had face-to-face interviews with a whistleblower with cosmic top secret clearance who once worked with the top tier of the infamous International Cabal. Because of her website and book, she's been a frequent guest on radio and TV shows in the USA, Canada, and the United Kingdom and Australia. And you can find her amazing website at skyshipsovercashiers.com. I highly recommend you check it out. It's a fascinating website. The material is always fresh and fascinating. And not only are the articles changed very, very recently, but her archives are there as well, so you can go back to decades of material of her hard work and her insight and her professionalism. She is an incredible lady with a fabulous website, and I'm so glad she shares her time with us. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, I'm glad to hear your voice again. How you doing?
Well, I have majored becoming a hermit, so...
Well, you're not alone. We're in a land of hermits.
I know. It's really quite amazing. I'm thinking that, you know, if I had to do this on a mountaintop, I'd be in big trouble. So I'm glad they're starting to loosen the reins, so to speak, and yet I have a blissfully beautiful place to be quarantined in, but I still am itching to get out there and someday in the distant future, rubbing elbows with the rest of humanity.
After a while, you begin to miss people, don't you?
I do.
Actually, you and I are both in really good positions. I live in a place that looks up at this Blue Ridge Parkway, and there's a lot of space, so I don't feel cramped in. I really, really ache for the people that are in small apartments in big cities. Being confined in a small space is quite different than what you and I are going through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and had we not had the technology we have,
everything would be shut down. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! At Easter time, for the very first time ever, we pulled on the computer on Zoom. We pulled 13 members of the family together. Now that many has never been together before.
Wow.
So
that's a good thing.
It was just amazing, and you know, now I'm sitting back saying, oh my gosh, we could have done this every major holiday and stayed in touch, and we haven't, but I promised everybody, I said at least two or three times a year we're going to do this, because it keeps you connected at least electronically to
right.
people that you're related to that are family. So
sounds like a good plan.
It is a great plan, and I keep reminding myself that I'm going to do it, because, you know, things kind of get in the way of stuff, and then you forget these moments of insight and clarity and a way of bringing family or good friends, you know, back together. If you can't do it in person, you can do it even face-to-face on the computer. So it's not as bad as it might have been. It certainly hasn't stopped the radio show going, which I'm, you know, delighted with. Mark is running into all sorts of electronic trouble because where he lives, he keeps losing his signals. So, but knocking on wood, I haven't. So
well,
I get to talk to you.
Okay, where do we want to go with this tonight?
Well, you know, I was fascinated over both of the articles that you suggested on the website. And the one that fascinates me the most, I'll do second. You have photographs on your website of a military vehicle, and it looks like it's carrying a UFO.
That is really interesting. We have a Facebook manager who takes some of our stories and puts them on Facebook, because that is one way of reaching people. That is not our major way of reaching people. Usually it's just in the hundreds that would, you know, tap into it. And I'm really not quite sure why this one has taken off in such a major way. This picture of a military transport with lots of wheels close together, it looks like there's 12 on each side, double tires, so there'd be 24 tires, which means it's carrying a very heavy load. And there is something that does indeed look like a disc-shaped UFO. And I didn't, just blow away that possibility, because a number of years ago, one of the people who lives up there actually saw a small disc-shaped UFO landed in a horse pasture northwest of Cashers. So that possibility is really there. And, of course, as you know, there have been all sorts of different kinds of UFOs over Cashers. Then there is this very unusual piece of equipment that's on the back end of this transport vehicle. And it looks like one of the they're missile firing devices. They're rectangular flat boxes where they have multiple missiles or rockets in them. and they can
yeah.
tip it up toward the air and, you know, shoot off rockets. And so you have these two pieces of equipment. Now, I'm not ready to decide that that is indeed what we're seeing, because just very recently I was contacted by a man who may have a down-to-earth explanation for it, and it's something I'm certainly going to check into further. But anybody at first glance is going to look at this photo and think, that looks like it might be a down craft. And until I can, you know, check things many different ways, that's the dominant feeling right now. So I don't know what to tell you. We got a photo of it. The photo was actually taken by somebody who is an official in the governments up there. You know, they're small towns, but nevertheless, it's an official. And we were given a copy of it. It was taken. I could not get the date pinned down. It was either April 9th or April 10th, and it was going on one of these winding back roads north between Cashers and Highlands in the mountains of western North Carolina. Very mysterious piece
of
equipment.
It clearly is a military vehicle. I mean,
that's what it sure
else
does
uses
look
that
like.
Color paint. I
mm-hmm.
mean, come on, that icky olive green that nobody has other than the military.
Yeah, I wouldn't have joined the Army because I can't stand that color. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, no.
I would have to go with the Navy or something so I could wear blue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're flying an American flag, it appears, on it.
That's definitely an American flag, yeah.
Which you know, makes one wonder. And it absolutely looks like a missile launcher. There's no doubt about that.
And I didn't, you know, I had to spend a lot of time going through different photos on the internet of different kinds of missile launchers, and in the posting I've include three photos of you know, three different variations on it, so you can kind of see the similarity. But like I said, I can't be one of these people who just, you know, jumps on something that's a UFO and that's absolutely what it has to be. I am going
uh-huh.
to pursue this other possibility, and if I find out something credible, I'll you know, update the information. But what I meant to tell you right off the bat and then got sidetracked is that we've had more hits on that Facebook posting than any Facebook posting we've ever had. And I don't think the count shows up on everybody's Facebook, but it does on the owner's page. And
yeah.
When I looked yesterday, there was between 23,000 and 24,000 hits. For our Facebook pages, that's a very large number.
Yeah. Well, for anybody's, I would think.
No, not for anybody.
There's
some big shots out there that deal in big numbers. But for those of us who, you know, stay, you know, between 100 and no more than 1,000, that's pretty good.
Absolutely,
that shows a lot of interest in what was being seen.
Well, now, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Where could it possibly have been going from or to in the background?
I have not been able to figure that out yet. I really haven't. And so the mystery continues. You know, what was it doing up there on a mountain ridge? Where was it going? Where had it been?
What is there in North Carolina as far as Army base or whatever that would have something like this creeping along the back road?
We don't have any Army or military bases here in the mountains where we are. We absolutely do not. However, we do have an underground facility beneath the Balsam Mountain Ridge, which would be east of Cashers, maybe, I don't know, maybe 30 miles away or something like that. We do have that, and we do have... And we have had reports from eyewitnesses who've seen small craft go into a lake that's adjacent to this underground facility. So it's probably used as an entrance into the underground. It's an underground facility that's reported to be six stories deep and city size and totally self-sufficient. And we've gotten confirmation of that from people with, you know, top security clearance. So that is a military facility. Then we had another place that is hidden beneath a hydrology plant that would be southwest of Franklin, North Carolina. And it looks like a normal one-story building out in the mountains. And, you know, a hydrology plant doesn't sound like anything unusual. But we had a whistleblower who worked for Duke Energy, which is our power company here. And he had to go there when they were putting in new, I don't know, GPS or whatever they needed to do, meters. And he had to go into the facility. In order to go into it, he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And when that expired, that's when he contacted us. There was an elevator that he went, they took him down, and then he went to another place and took an elevator down to another level. So this place that looks like a one-story facility dealing just with water has this amazing mystery beneath it. And he knew there were cameras on him, so he had to, you know, behave himself when his escort went to check on something. And he noticed that there were a number of doors in the hallway, and each one had a label, like lab or, you know, equipment. But one said kennel, which puzzled him. What in the world would a kennel, why would they have one at a water plant or a hydrology place? And he did ask a question, and somebody kind of went into a daze and said, indicated that it wasn't just animals they did experiments on. So here we have another mystery that's not too far from this place. I don't know. I have so many loose ends on this story, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to the end of them and make absolute, you know, conclusions or not, but it's certainly something I'm not finished with.
Is this the same area where people were hearing the underground grinding of digging beneath them, deep beneath them?
Beneath the Perry Center, which is the Pisgah Astronomical Research Institute, which is on the Balsam Ridge, yes. Mm-hmm. And they there's also indications that, you know, tunneling has been done between there and other facilities to the north. This has been confirmed because people who live along that ridge have, for X amount of time, felt and heard digging, grinding sounds beneath their homes or beneath their feet, and then it would quit. Well, if they're digging a tunnel, that would make some kind of sense. They would only be making a racket beneath your house for a while. So there's a lot. I have concluded that much of the earth looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, well, that's always been my thought, that you know, they have put stuff so far out of our reach that for the most part we don't even sense it. But of course the grinding is something that people have sensed. I just it always makes me wonder, you know, was this craft, I mean, the one thing, UFOs are unidentified flying objects, so yes, they are all over the place.
Correct.
But are they ours? Are they terrestrial? Are they
extraterrestrial? It's gotten muddier and muddier. You know, back, I don't know. For example, I was getting reports from people about a long line of UFOs that was flying over a nearby town. Hendersonville, North Carolina, was the most recent one. And, you know, I've got pictures of it, and it looks really mysterious. It's truly a line of UFOs that are, you know, pretty evenly spaced between each other. Well, I started to do research on this and found out that that's a totally man-made thing. You probably are familiar with Elon Musk, and he has a company. It's the SpaceX Corporation. And he applied for, I guess, a patent or an application for a non-geostationary orbit satellite system, which means it wouldn't be land-based. And he has, April 16th of this year, which is, you know, this month, they had launched 362 of what they call mini or small MINI satellites, and they're lined up together so they work as a major satellite communication system that links to something on the ground. And the plans that he has are quite incredible. The plan is to launch 60 more of these every 2 weeks of this year. And with the idea by the end of the year, they'll have 12,000 of these up in the air. The mere 300 and whatever it was, 362, that was enough to get everybody's attention. You can imagine what it's going to be like when they have 12,000 of them, and he even thinks about extending it to as many as 42,000. Now, the
it will create then a network around the globe, literally.
Yeah, literally. That's what it looks like. And it
to
will make
purpose?
Internet, it would just make internet connections incredible. Now, there's a downside to this. The astronomers are not happy at all. And I don't have this posted on the website yet. It may get put up next week. But I have two pictures. I actually have three. One is one that was taken here close by. And then there's one where you can see several lines of these streaking across the sky above the trees in southern Brazil. And the shot that really shows you why the astronomers aren't pleased with this Starlink system is because you can see through the scope in this photo, or their telescope, and you can see all these diagonal white lines in their field of vision. And I'm going, no wonder they are not happy. So that will be posted at the website, which is skyshipsovercashiers.com. Cashiers is spelled like a cashier at the grocery store, even though they say cashiers. Skyships over Cashiers. And on the homepage, when it's posted, it'll be on at the top of the right-hand side.
Well, if that kind of a network is created, I mean, probably will make internet stuff fabulous. At the same time, it controls everything beneath it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, these
feel like a good idea.
I'm not sure that it's a good idea. It's probably not just the astronomers that will be affected, and the stuff that we humans put up into orbit, eventually it comes down or it goes gliding around as space junk, and I have a hunch we already have too much debris floating around the planet just from things we as humans have done in the past.
It sounds frightening because it does mean that while it may make, internet radio better and stuff like that, it also means that it will control it. If they don't like what you're saying or doing, they can shut you down.
That's probably the case now, too. In fact, I do run into that with our website. The famous, infamous they doesn't always like what we do.
I'm right along with you. I have been punished a number of times.
I'll share one of my stories if you share one of yours. What have they done?
Sure. I had put up some material about questioning, my questioning was, who's in control of the government? You know, who are the puppeteers and who are the puppets? And my premise was that our government, even what people call our deep state, they are puppets to a greater, deeper organization that is terrestrial, but they are controlling literally the world with the aim of making it a one-world order and a one-world government. And forget the word government, because it will not be a government. It will be more like a dictatorship.
Correct.
And I think we're on our way. And I was, mourning people to pay attention, to don't be one of those sheeple that, just goes along with the crowd. Because at some point in time, you're going to find that your freedoms are all gone. and it's within our generation. It's not something that, you know, we're looking for our great-grandchildren to have to fight this. It's something that's happening now, and we should be paying attention to it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I was shut down. You know, my website was shut down. My Facebook was shut down. Everything was shut down for almost a month.
Oh, so you got your hand slapped.
Oh, did I ever. I mean, yeah. I still talk it, but I'm a little more careful about where I put it out there.
Initially, you know, I would periodically have things happen. I'll just give one quick example. We use Google Earth to show people entrances into Antarctica or facilities that aren't ancient
mm-hmm.
on Mars. And within a day, but no more than 2 days, either the coordinates that I provide for people will no longer work. It won't take you to a place that you can see it anymore. One of the situations, it actually looked like somebody chose to pour India ink over this whole entrance. That's the kind of stuff that I've gotten in the past. Now, they really came down on me when we posted something real recently, and it's titled Deadly Serious Alert. It fits in with what you're talking about, which is this ET infiltrating the human civilization. And they refer to, and there's different kinds of ETs, and I do not lump them all together. But the ones that are having the most awful influence right now are known by some people as the Dominators, and they just see the Earth as something to be exploited for their benefit, and it is creepy. They talk about the Earth as being the farm because they actually like to consume people, and this may very well be part of the explanation of why David Paulides, who's written a series of missing people, especially children. He has a series of books called the 411 books. And there's a tremendous number of, like, children or homeless people that just disappear seemingly forever. Worse than that, that aspect of the ETs has teamed up with the worst aspect of humans within our government or our global elite. Just to, you know, control us. And the stuff with them spraying the chemicals with debilitating or deadly toxins. You know, it's just sinister. It's just like a really bad sci-fi movie. And we also had a man with above top security clearance who has proven to be right on a number of occasions, so we tend to believe that what he tells us is correct. And he absolutely told us that the coronavirus was created in a lab. It was created in, it's called a BSL-4 lab. Now, that is a biological safety level 4, which is the highest level. And it was created, according to him, in a BSL laboratory in Canada. The paperwork went through the United States, or the CDC, and it was delivered to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is another BSL-4 lab. And these are the kind of labs that work with the highly dangerous exotic microbes that can be fatal. The best known ones are Ebola and SARS. So not only has this been created, it's been designed I don't know the full extent of what it's intended to do, but he said it is aimed more at men than women, and I do think the death toll is supporting that, though I don't have statistics on the top of my head. And I believe that it's aimed at people who genetically are coming from, like, the Middle East, maybe even Africa, more than other genetic groups. Of this has yet to be proven out, but it, without a doubt, he says it has been, created with a purpose of bringing down the population. because
the
alliance between what I call the nasty ETs and the government, they would like to bring the human population down to one that would be able to provide necessary services and not be so abundant that we, you know, destroy the atmosphere, destroy everything that they want. So what can I say? And one of the things that makes his story even more believable is that he was, after that information got posted, he had what I call the new style Men in Black appear at his home. And instead of being dressed in the black suits and hats that are really like the 1950s style, they were dressed in more contemporary clothes, but they still acted very robotic, and they essentially threatened him. So we have walked into a sci-fi world, and it's unbelievable, but sadly there's incredible evidence that it's very real.
Well, this whole thing, I've often said this. First of all, science fiction has always prepared us for what's coming in the future, and that's the purpose of it. And you reminded me of a Twilight Zone episode that had aliens landing on the planet, and they were here to help us. They were here to bring peace. They were here to, you know, they provided us with cures for things. And then it got to the point where people wanted to go visit their planet, and you know, they said, you know, yes, you know, we'll take you, but you know, you have to gain weight because the journey is long, and you know, you have to have a sort of a protection of fat around you. And they had a book that they showed everybody, and it said to serve man, so that, you know, they came in peace and everything. And the story went that, you know, one man was curious, and everybody around him were gaining weight so they could be on the first shipload out. And he worked on translating the book further. And as he was watching, you know, people that he loved get on this spaceship, he's trying to tell them to get off, because To Serve Man is a cookbook.
Right.
So,
I did not see that episode, but I knew where you were headed with that, and fatten me up to make a more tasty treat. It's so disgusting. It really, really is.
Oh, it is. But you know what really gets me, and I want to get back to the virus stuff, because before this really evolved and everything, I was getting, now I don't have people like you do that give me really good, accurate information and stuff like that. What I get is more of a channel type of material. So I knew that it was orchestrated to be used for biowarfare. But the thing that got me the most, with as I was bringing material through, one was it was meant to cull the population. Two is that it will, whoever has it, it's interesting to note, by the way, that I am hearing now that those people that are dying from it are also ones who have had a flu shot.
But I didn't know that.
What gets me was if you survive it, what I got was that it is causing sterility. So
yeah, well,
that
that's intended.
But the biggest part is that it wasn't released until they had an antidote for it. And the antidote was sort of shared with the people they wanted to make sure that they lived. And then it was released, so that there is an anecdote to it.
And we may have key power people that would help out this system. They can be real cocky about going around without masks because maybe they already have the protection.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that a couple months before this whole thing started, Nancy Pelosi went to Wuhan. She went to China, to the place where this thing was released.
When did she do that?
It was within the last 3-4 months. It was before the virus became, you know, I think it may have even been before the release of the virus. But she went to Wuhan.
Do you know what the reason was that she was given why she went there?
I don't know. Shopping spree? I have no idea. Maybe to pick
up a
couple more.
You've given me another one of those threads. I have to go and go to the end of them and see where they take us.
Yeah. No, it's so I know from a spiritual level, you know, but I can't prove it. I just have the information, and it's horrifying to see it start to manifest. I do not feel it's coming back in the fall. I feel that's just a scare tactic, and I think they're isolating us so that the appropriate people catch the virus. And you know, they're hitting nursing homes. They're hitting, but you look around and not anybody who is a major player in the world has caught it. Isn't that amazing?
Didn't. Okay.
I mean, the British Prime Minister did survive it, but
right.
aside from that, not one major. Really powerful person. Bill Gates hasn't gotten it. Soros hasn't gotten it. None, you know, and if it's this virulent, how come?
There's a lot to find out about this. It's not what it seems, and a lot of people have been watching Chris Cuomo because he had the disease and he kind of walked us all through it. So. More people than usual were tuning into his show, and I have somebody, his show was on now, so I have somebody else watching it for me because he was going to have his blood analyzed because they said it was just totally strange. And so things that happened to his blood, even though things are showing up in his blood that even though he's cleared of the disease now, so something's still kind of weird.
Something's still at work, and the fact that it's basically aimed at men at a certain age, you know, range too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering about the Georgia Stones and how they are saying, you know, on it among other things that they say what the population of the world should be.
Right. They have I don't remember the number anymore, but they have what they consider an ideal number, and whoever put it up there or built those stones, I don't think that person or that group has been really identified, unless you know something I don't know.
Just that the one man that was in charge of building it refuses to give out any information. He was a bank guy, and he won't give out any information. And I would suspect whatever he knows is not accurate anyhow. But with those stones sitting out there, you just kind of. Anonymously sitting there in the middle of this field kind of thing and waiting for I don't know for what, but it is just the weirdest thing ever that they're just sitting out there. And when I look at the culling, and I swear to you it's culling the population.
And our whistleblower said that. They're definitely reducing the population. And one thing I went off on one direction and didn't complete something, and that is after we posted that deadly serious alert on our website, I was able to send out one group of email notices, which I do, and I know you get them. When we update the website, we normally send out group mailings to let people know it's been updated. I have to do it in a number of groups. I can't send them all out at once. I was able to send one group through, and since then, we posted on the 23rd. Since then, I have not been able to even send a email with a copy or a blind copy, period. And we have yet to work out how we're going to get around that. But that was the result of the one where we were revealing this information about the ET human alliance that is no good. That's when we got shut down.
Well, yeah, I just they have us so isolated that we can't really get together and brainstorm and connect the dots. And I think that's part of the reason they're isolating us. I mean, you know, I'm 76, so I'm at risk. But the only person I'm at risk from are the cats these days. So, you know, but I noticed how they basically are hitting populations that are on the coasts, the inland, and Detroit is kind of on coast too with your Great Lakes. So, I think it has something to do with, you know, the places where we have the densest populations. And
it has everything to do with that, and the reason, in my opinion, it started on the coast is because it's supposedly been brought in by people from other places, and the ports, the international ports, are the ones that are initially going to be hit the hardest. Now, they may be doing this way beyond, you know, just human-to-human transmission. It may be something they've, I don't know, blown into the air over certain places. I really do not know.
My gut feeling, and it's only my gut feeling, so I have no proof for this, so, you know, nobody start looking at people and saying you're one of them. My feeling is that they sent infected people into certain areas.
That's possible. That's very possible.
You know, it was almost like they had an army of people that they sent into, you know, designated places that were already infected. And I do believe they were probably not infected. Well, they were probably sacrificial. They were probably told it won't kill you, but they lied to them. And it's just, you know, what else amazes me is in California, the street people aren't having as much, you know, they aren't as infected as people in, you know, downtown areas. So they really don't care if the street people die or not. What they care is if the people who are in the industry get it.
Hmm.
I found that fascinating.
Hmm. We have a lot of things to still learn.
We do. And you know, I think just the fear that it might come back is enough. I don't think it'll come back. I think we may be hit with something else at another time frame. But I will tell you, I will have my masks and my rubber. By the time this is all over, all of the places I have ordered masks and rubber gloves from will, you know, will turn up on my doorstep, and I'll be able to have a fire sale of some sort because I'll have so many pairs of gloves and so many masks. But I will definitely keep on holding on to as many of them as I can. But the reality here is those face masks, the little paper ones, they don't prevent anything from coming into you or you going. I mean, I think it's a placebo. I don't think it stops a virus like this.
That's a good question.
Me.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it does make some kind of sense that we've all seen pictures of somebody sneezing with a black background so that you can see the droplets going out. I mean, we've all seen those pictures. And
that makes
so those would be carrying a virus. So yes, the mask is going to help in that regard. I would still use the mask for a while until we learn something else.
Oh, I've got plenty of masks now. But to me, that's saying that the time for needing them is, you know, almost over. When it's sort of like when I get excited about something, it's usually about to be discontinued or it's so old that it's antiquated. It's sort of like if I find a TV show I love, I can guarantee you it's going to be canceled. So, you know, the fact that I am prepared now tells me that, yeah, I'm not going to need it for very much longer.
Well, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens now that we have states opening up for business again, or at least partially opening up for business, and to see within, you know, the next week if things begin to spike again. I suspect they will, actually.
No, I don't think they will.
Okay, we got a bet going.
Yeah, we do. You know, I really think that the isolation was on purpose, and I don't think that I think the virus will go away. I mean, it'll take out a lot of people before it goes. Don't get me wrong. I think the death rate will still go up, but I think they're going to.
That's what the bet was. That's what the bet was about.
Okay.
I think in the
short
term.
But I'll tell you. I'll tell you one other thing. I think, you know, 9 months to a year from now, we'll have a baby boom.
Oh, yeah, that's a real possibility. When all the lights went out in New York, I don't know when it was, but, you know, 9 months after, there was a baby boom there was a baby boom. I remember that.
Yeah. What I'm going to be watching is a year from now, 18 months from now, I want to see if the birth rate goes down.
Oh, yeah, because then the effect of this would begin to have an impact. But I think it's real important for people to really pay attention to their gut feelings. Don't dismiss them. If that little gut feeling or, you know, your antenna goes up and something doesn't seem right, I think we're living in a time where you better pay attention to it. And
absolutely.
Regarding ETs, I think you better be I don't think we better be calling ETs in. The ones that are really going to help us will appear if we need them, and they usually appear more like the old masters that can, you know, go in and out of dimensions. They are not the little gray aliens or the reptilians or any of those.
No.
I think that for the most part, those are operating either as human-like robots regarding the little grays. But I don't think that for them, I don't think they are to be trusted offhandedly. And we've got to pay attention to it. I've been getting calls. I feel like a counselor this week. I've been getting calls from people who are being bothered now by dark energies, and they can't decide if it's ET related or not. But there is this negativity that is rearing its head up. And that's why it's even more important for people to stay in alignment with the Creator, with the light, with that which is positive. And I think it's necessary for, you know, at least mental survival.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that, you know, they have created such fear in all of us. I don't know how long it's going to be, but probably a long time before I feel safe going into a restaurant.
I wouldn't guess right now how long that's going to be.
Yeah, and so they've created fear in us, and fear can do amazing things, especially when we're isolated. You know, we create scenarios in our head that aren't real. And exactly like you said, so long as you can align yourself, so long as you can touch into that spirit within and make that connection to the cosmic energies that are out there, you're okay. And you know, this too shall pass, and it will. But my feeling is that a lot of times people that think that they see grays or think that they see, you know, reptilians, if they're out there, and they probably are, they are more or less a virus on our society.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look upon them as a virus, you can survive a virus. You can alienate it by not seeing it because you don't believe in it. And it's sort of what is that called? Of course, the word is not. It's a Gregory? Egory. Egori. Egor and egori is a concept that you put such belief into it, you create it.
Oh, okay.
An egregore. I interviewed an author on it, and I was fascinated by the fact that it makes sense. If you believe in something enough, if you can literally create it within your reality.
Okay, that concept has been. I still don't know the word you're using, but I certainly know the concept.
Egregore. And what happens is, you know, you believe you have a dark energy around you, and and everything you've ever read on dark energies begins to manifest because that's what you believe is there. It's like an anxiety attack. Sometimes
right.
you don't recognize an anxiety attack, and as soon as you recognize it for what it is, it goes away. So
it's a real primitive example, but thoughts
uh-huh.
are like when our thoughts are like a magnet, and if we dwell on a certain kind of thinking or perspective,
uh-huh.
we draw things to us that are like that. And I've seen that, you know, over and over and over again. So if you're going to dwell on the darkness, you're going to draw more of the darkness to you.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't know where the phrase comes from. I'd like to take credit for it, but I'm not sure I can. But it's really good, and if I did it, I'm so proud of myself. But you create your reality by your perception of it.
Okay.
And that's exactly what you were saying. It's I look upon this time frame here as a wonderful opportunity to get a lot of work done, to do some creative work, to actually do some cleaning and stuff that I didn't want to do. But you know, I've been given the time to put my house in order in many ways, so that this is a good experience for me. And I'm really looking upon it as a good experience because I don't want to get into the poor me, poor me, poor me bit, because then everything comes down and everything, you know, becomes icky. And, you know, it's really, again, it's your perception. If you're looking upon this as a difficulty or being in prison and being held prisoner and not having, you know, you can weave that into an awful thing and you can make yourself sick that way. So,
I agree.
Turn it around, you know. Am I excited that I have all this time to do all of this extra work? Not particularly, but the creative stuff I am. I have books I need to read. I have, you know, I have exciting things to do, and I now have the time to do it. And it's really a cool experience. So when life gets back to semi-normal, and it will never be the same, there are going to be moments when I look back on having all of the time in the world to myself and wishing I had done more that I had the time for.
Gotcha. I'm sure many people feel that way too, you know.
Well, I know I get people calling all the time, and while I am a spiritual counselor, I really, you know, some of them are above my pay grade or my credentials, so you know, you have to back up. I did want to talk just briefly, because we don't have a long time here, but those translucent UFOs over Lake Kiawe in South Carolina are fascinating. I have never seen translucent UFOs before. Have you?
Not this close to the ground. I've seen things in the air that seem to morph and change. And for your listeners, it pretty much has a circular shape, and we had the woman who took the picture, she was able to get two pictures before it dove into the lake. And
uh-huh.
it the shape from one picture to the other within that circle changes. So there's just so many technology things that are beyond at least what I know that I can't give you a real good explanation for it. But the phenomena of diving into lakes is not new. We've had other reports of that happening. Go ahead.
I can give you what I got when I saw the picture.
Okay.
The translucence that you saw was the energy field surrounding the object.
That could very well be true.
You know, and I looked at it and said, well, of course, that's the energy field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the coming in and out of water. I mean, Christopher Columbus even saw an object come out of the ocean.
Oh, wait. Now you've delved into something that I absolutely know something about. I was on San Salvador Island at the time of the discovery, October 12th. Course, you know, a couple hundred years later, when uh-huh. Columbus landed. And in his logbook, which I, at the time I was doing my research, read at least those portions of it, he talked about a light, kind of going up and down, ebbing and flowing from the ground. Well, when I was on the island, that at that same time period in October, it was like mosquito season. And so I was with some of the native people on the island, and they would build these bonfires, and whenever they would throw more wood on their mosquito fires, it would send lights up into the sky. And I'm one who tends to think that that's what he was seeing.
I would, that certainly is a possibility. I'm wondering, in his entrance in the log, where was the ship at that time? Was it close to shore, or was it in the middle of the ocean?
No, they could see. I mean, they were approaching land. This is information I did back, late 70s maybe? It was a long time ago. So I can't pull the facts up real quickly for you, but that has always stuck in my mind because I saw it happen.
That's phenomenal. Well, okay, we'll cross that off then.
Well, no, I mean, it could very well have been UFOs. I would have to have more proof than the diary of Columbus to believe it.
Oh, absolutely. My impression had been that he was at sea when it happened. So,
approaching, I think shortly after that they landed, and they actually went around, I think, to the opposite side of the island because it was safer to land. It was more of a harbor. So they may have been bobbing out there waiting for daylight to go around to the other side, but they were close. Either they could see the land or they were just about to see the land.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, there you go. With most of these things, there is a logical explanation, and it's when you don't have the logical explanation that it becomes a really cool thing.
Well, don't think that I don't believe that the UFOs are real and that they could very well have been during that time period. But
I totally believe that they're real. It's just that today, I think that there is always a far greater question as to, is this ours? Is this or Japan's or Russia's or whoever?
Right.
Who else? A number of countries have been working. I mean, look at what Germany did. For heaven's sakes, they had created them in the 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there, and it's kind of like, yes, you saw a UFO now. Was it made in Japan? Was it made in the USA?
Was it from somewhere else? That's the reason you and I did a show last month, I believe, where I focused on the giant ones around the sun, which are bigger than Jupiter, absolutely could not have been made by any humans that you and I know. And, there's no way you can blow those away. I know you told me that you have a new outlet for your shows. Why don't you do a plug for yourself and tell them maybe how they could get to that show with the giant UFOs around the sun, because you were able to include some of the pictures of those.
Yeah, that's it's on the YouTube channel, BarbaraDeLong.com. Check that out. All of the shows are there, and of course on my website, BarbaraDeLong.com, and I have the honor of having Mary Joyce on my show once a month, and her website is spectacular. It's skyshipsovercashiers.com, an amazing website. You can get lost in it, especially in the archives. I mean, you just never come up for air if you go to the archives. I highly recommend it, but do it on a full stomach.
Oh, because you can't take a break. You're very kind. But don't you have a new service that carries your shows now?
Oh, it's on TalkStream. The show is on TalkStream Live, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. It's on Amazon Music. The show is carried on 13 different servers. So
wonderful.
almost any server you have, you'll find Nightlight on. And it's a very exciting time to be able to touch into people around the world. And it's such an honor to have you on, Mary. It's so cool to be able to sit and talk with you. And we're down to the last 20 seconds or so. So you want to put your stuff out there?
Go to skyshipsovercashers.com, and I encourage people to, you know, check out what's recently been put up there. But the archives are packed with things that will be new to most people, so don't hesitate to go dive into those. And if you want to see pictures of some of the, UFOs closer to Earth, 2015 was a very active year, so go into the 2015 archives of the photo section.
Yeah, and if you go to Blog Talk Radio and you want to catch the shows that Mary has been on, all of the pictures, the last month's show, all of the pictures are on the Blog Talk show. They're in the slideshow that goes on as we are talking. So you could talk forever on Mary's website. So that's Skyships Over Cashiers. It's fabulous.
Thank you for having me on the show again. I always enjoy talking to you.
Well, I look forward to talking to you next month. You stay well and stay out of trouble.
All righty. Good night.
I'll try to do the same. Good night now. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate your being with us. Please check us out on the YouTube channel. And if you like what you see, please subscribe. We sure could use the numbers. Take care. Stay well. Out of trouble and healthy. Good night now.